can't, they can. Apparently, it's not up yet. Hello? Well, they say they can't. Okay? Can y'all hear me, or do they need to turn it up?
Is that better?
Turn it up.
Turn it up. I got it from right back here. Turn it up.
Please.
Yes, please. I can't hear you. Hello? Well, I can talk really loud. I have a cross here that was left in the office. The staff does not know what to do with it. If it was yours, you want it back, or you want something done with it, please let the office know.
In memory of, or what?
If it might be in memory of someone, whatever. In your bulletin, you have a cooking is love insert. Please help out the church to get that taken care of. There's also another insert that is a connectional insert for the staff to update all of your information. So please, if there's a change, or if you're new and you haven't registered with the church and you want the newsletter and all, please fill it out and put it in the offering plate. They really are trying hard to update everything. So, visitors. Do we have any visitors here? Okay. Welcome. Would you like to stand up for the class? If you don't want to.
I'm from Houston. My name is Josh, dad of Bobby Jones. Lived here for a long time. He's not here any longer, but we were happy to see him. So.
Wonderful.
Please register your attendance in the red notepad and pass it on. And if you just want to change some information on that, do so on that red notepad or this connection card, either way. Also, there's prayer request forms that if you fill out and put in the offering plate, we'll get to the pastor and she'll take care of it. Also, as is my pleasure, Thursday the 17th of this month, we're going to have the
Friday
of this month, we're going to have the Wounded Warriors in our fellowship hall to celebrate their service and their recovery from whatever ails them, physical or mental, probably mostly mental. This year, I would like to invite the congregation to come and celebrate with us, not just them and not just the staff that's working in the kitchen. So we would love to have y'all come and eat breakfast at 9 o'clock. No,
we meet
the staff
at
starts at 8.
The staff starts at 8.
If you're working, you start at 8, but if you're just coming to celebrate with us, come at 9. And please help us celebrate these men and women and their families, because they are the reason we have our freedom. So, and I'm pretty passionate about it, so. If you're going to come and you haven't been approached to work as part of the staff, please call the church office and they will log you in so we know how much food to bring.
Cool.
And I think that's all the housekeeping. Anything else? Okay, so Esther, thank you.
opening hymns is found on page 398. Ah, this is working. Please stand as we sing together, Jesus Calls Us.
Join me in the call to worship. O Lord our God, we praise you.
We cried to you for help, and you answered us.
You have restored our lives.
You have rescued us from the grave.
And now please join me in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm out of order here.
If you like the mic.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 347 as we sing together Spirit Song.
Oh, let him.
Okay, now, would you join me in the prayer of confession? Lord God, in the light of your glory, we see the evil we have done, the suffering we have caused, the good news we have refused, and the truth we have denied. Healing us of our sin, wash us in your mercy, and feed us with your grace, so that we may follow your ways and tell the good news of the gospel. Amen. Rise up from the dust, cast off the shroud of sorrow, and put the joy of the Lord in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in a prayer? Dear Lord, bless us to understand that our giving is not about the money, but it would be about the sacrifice and the dedication to your memory. Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, okay. Let's prepare our heart for communion. If you would follow with me on page 15 and 16, and while we're finding our page, I want to let you know that I am aware that they must be serving cookies and something on this side of the pews, because everybody is sitting on this side. So I am aware that something is going on this side, and apparently you guys don't got it together, okay? So step up. Let us get our heart together to receive communion, the most important part of today's service. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And so, in remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can I have the communion stewards come forward? Broken for us, Lord. It is our what connects us to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who are my stewards today? You are my stewards today.
Tell me what to do.
Yes. And you're my other steward today. Heavenly Father, this is blood poured out for us, Lord, for each one of us, just as we are, my Heavenly Father, imperfect, but loving you. Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. Please come to the table of the Lord. It is an open table, ready to receive each one of you just like you are. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you, Mary. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus, Mary, poured out for you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you, Paul. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you.
Is that on the lectern?
No, I'm going to go to me. It is time for joys and concerns. Did the mic just started working? All right. Jackie Maxson, requesting prayers, praises for God for the celebration of life service that we had yesterday, remembering Jolene Jones. Pray for Bobby, Josh, Jody, and the family in this their hour of need and recuperation, how they learn to live without her. Roberta Hacker would like prayer for Jessica Pitt. She's a 14-year-old with a blood clot, and she's in the hospital. So Heavenly Father, we gather together to pray for comfort and peace, Lord, healing, my Heavenly Father, and your perfect will, Lord, over these two families. In Jesus' name. Will all of you together with me, let's go ahead and say the prayer of intercession. Oh Lord our God, we cry to you for help. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. Give them freedom, peace, and safety. We pray for those who work day by night. Give them satisfaction and rest from their labors. We pray for those who fear their efforts are in vain. Fill their lives with your providence and grace. We pray for all who suffer in sickness and grief. Give them healing, hope, and joy. We pray for the faithful in every nation on earth. Give them voices to praise your name forever. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who loves us, who feeds us, who saves us. Amen. Prayer of intercession, all together. O God of light, by the power of your Holy Spirit, restore our sight, that in these words of scriptures and sermon, we may see Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our reading from today is John 21, 1-14, and it is page 1687 and 88 on your pew Bible. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana and in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answer. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed on the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same thing with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Seven disciples are identified as part of the group that is gathering in Galilee instead of Jerusalem. This is not particularly unusual in the text of the four Gospels, since Jesus had warned them in John 16:32, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." Now Peter was sitting with Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and the two others. It was confusing. It was a confusing time. Jesus wasn't there, and he hadn't told them what to do next. So Peter said, "I am going fishing." And I could almost hear the other one say, "Me too, I'm with you, I'm gone." All night they fish, but nothing was coming up. By morning, they might have been saying to themselves, "And whose idea was this?" Jesus was there at the shore, but they were not able to recognize him. That's important. Just as day was breaking, they heard a voice from the shore. "Friends, do you have any fish?" James, exasperated, responded, "No. Cast your nets on the side of the boat, and you will find some." These instructions were familiar. This had happened before. Peter and John glanced at one another and then tossed a net. The sudden weight almost pulled them overboard. It couldn't be, but it was. Fish. And they were huge. They couldn't even get them into the boat. Then John looked at Peter and said, "Oh, it is the Lord." When they got to shore, they found Jesus preparing breakfast for them. He already had fish, and he said, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Then he served them breakfast. Did you all catch this part? Jesus serving breakfast? Hold on to that. It will come back to it. But I think that's very important. Notice that the disciples did not know who he was at first. It wasn't until the overflow of fish that they knew it had to be Jesus. I'm assuming that we might say that they did not recognize him because they were at some distance from him. But I believe that they did not recognize him because Jesus doesn't look the same to every one of us. I think Jesus, when he comes to us, he has a particular look so that we can recognize him. And this is why I named the sermon, "Will I Know You When I See You?" How many times do we encounter Jesus in our day and fail to recognize him? The Lord Jesus doesn't want to be an objective figure to us that we worship from afar. We can experience God in ordinary circumstances, in a stunning sunrise or in a ride down the hill. We can sense his power in creation and his sovereignty in its order. We can see his uprightness when mercy is shown for the weak and when justice prevails for the wicked. And he is just as real and present in your particular struggles and in your specific pain. When we feel peace, the peace that transcends all understanding, during tough circumstances, we are experiencing the presence of God in our lives. As we all know, God shows up even when we're not looking for him. He can show up on a retreat, the same time as he can show up when we're having quiet time, but he can also show up when we're gardening, and he can also show up when we're talking to our neighbor. He invades grocery lines and football stadiums, cry rooms, and cafeterias. He speaks in ways we expect and in ways we do not expect. Though we expect to experience God through spiritual leaders, we must recognize that we can receive his wisdom, his care, his love and his correction from ordinary folks, people just like you and me, from the insightful words of a friend to even the chastisement or correction of a stranger. He comes to us in ways that our senses can take him without injury, which is always less than what he is. He comes sometimes as a servant, a friend, a stranger with a word, or in a smile of a child. This is part of his glory, a glory that must be veiled or it would blind us. But he still comes. Sometimes we can experience God through the written word. God can be present in the words of poets or in an allegory. You might encounter him in a novel or in a fantasy section in the library, even in a movie. Through any of these things, you might see the struggle between good and evil and also celebrate the love of unselfish friendship. In all this, you might recognize Jesus. God promises he is present among his people. When we gather together to worship him or simply to love and encourage one another, he is here. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Imagine that. God is with us in our work, our worship, our celebration, and our shared sorrows. And he's certainly here today. How different our experiences with one another might be if we imagine Jesus Christ sitting at our table as a trusted participant in every endeavor, a cheerleader in every glad gathering, a volunteer in the kitchen. Come on now. You all know that the Lord can cook. He was making breakfast just a little while ago. So yes, he can be in the kitchen too. So what is preventing us from recognizing Jesus in our everyday life? Well, I have some suggestions for you. One, we're too busy to see Jesus. Every day we get up in the morning and the first thing we do is we do busy. It does not matter what busy is, we have stuff to do. We get going in the events of the day, then the weekend, then we have places to go, people to see, and things to do. The problem with being busy is that we miss out on the most important things in life. We ignore our spouse's needs. We select the people we want to talk to. We sacrifice our health. When asked to volunteer, we're too tired. We don't have time to give because we're busy. We overburden our souls with stuff. And we don't recognize Jesus through the day. Two, we miss Jesus because we're not looking for him. Have you not noticed how we take ownership of the day as if the gift of time was our creation and something we can reproduce at will? We give thanks to God for another birthday, another anniversary, but sometimes we forget to give him thanks just for today. And just today, all day, as it comes. It didn't matter what it bring. It doesn't matter what it will bring. We just thank him. Thank him that we're here. Thank him that we have freedom. Thank him that we have a place to come and worship. We forget that those things are a gift. The evidence of Jesus returning to life was as vivid then as it should be for us today. He's among us now, with you when you leave. He is at Matt Jack's and at Dave's. He's also at the brewery and the Western Bar. And he also goes to the lodge. And I am sure that he complains just like Carol and I do all the time. When are they going to change the menu? But he's everywhere we go. Can you imagine that? That we don't take a step on our own, whether somebody is walking with us that we can see visibly. but he's always with us. And then at the same time, what is too much to understand is that at the same time he's with me, he's with you, he's with you, he's with you, he'll be with you. And he's with all of you. Just at the same time, I think that he is busy. Sometimes, oddly enough, we prevent ourselves from seeing Jesus. That's the third thing I want to tell you. You know, when you're depressed or you're angry, and at that time, we can develop an amazing ability to resist comfort. We can twist the most soothing words with a yes, but. And oh, that's fine for you to say, but you don't know what I'm going through. Because at the moment, whatever we're going through is the worst thing. And of course, unless you're able to hand it over to the Lord, nobody else can understand it. All of us that state, when we hear bad news, postponing it is not going to get better with time. Bad news is going to be bad news now and bad news later. But how we take it, how we receive it, is what set us up for how we're going to handle it. And it is at that moment that we can see Jesus in our lives. There is an old Texas saying that says, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So it doesn't matter what I'm going to come and tell you. It doesn't matter how much support I'm going to give you. It doesn't matter how much words of wisdom and how many poems I have memorized. You're not going to hear me. And you will not hear me, not only me, but anybody, until you acknowledge that Jesus is in the midst of your situation, that you're not alone, and you actually turn around to look for him. Four, sometimes our pessimistic attitude shuts our faith out. We don't recognize Jesus because we're not willing to accept evidence, proof that he is always with us, that he loves us just the way we are, just the way we are. Proof that if we confess our sins, we are forgiven. And other times, not just lack of evidence, but it is a lack of hope. Our pessimistic attitude will shut down your hope. We simply don't believe that Jesus will show up in our lives. We forget Matthew 10:29 when it says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? Then Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. This is a very powerful verse. It is powerful because it is a promise. It is something that you can hold on to when times are tough. It is something that you can hold on to when you cannot pray because you are that hurt. You can go here and just recite this verse. Soak it into your mind and your soul. When you feel that the whole world has gone out on you, and you are the only one that is left behind, believing that the Lord is with you in all that you do, that will be able to take you from one day to the next, and that will be able to give you the encouragement that you need. That type of encouragement can only come from God, and he's given it to you in Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Then in Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, this verse should be a part of everybody's prayer. We need to memorize it. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You need to know the promises of the Lord. You need to pick up 2-3 verses that will speak to you when you need it the most. If you cannot memorize it, write them down in a sticky note, put it in the mirror, put it in the car, put it in the refrigerator, put it in your phone. Time your phone with a verse and let it repeat every hour or every 2 hours. 2 hours. I tell you, when you're holding on, it will help you to have something just pop up and start speaking the word of God. It takes you to put it in your phone. God has given you that intelligence, even though we're not smarter than the fifth grader, but still, I believe that if it's not my own intelligence that God gives me, he'll give me somebody that knows how to do it. The point here is do it. Get the word of God to you whichever way you can and whichever way it makes sense. But get it to you because that's how you see Jesus in your everyday life. How can we know Jesus when we see him? We can recognize him in the most mundane of places by simply recognizing Jesus for who he is. He's the resurrected and living Savior. Jesus is the one who has time for us, even when we don't have time for him. The one who is looking for us, even when we're not looking for him. The one who will replace our sadness with joy. The one who will give us hope, even in the midst of our doubts. And we all have doubts. There's nothing wrong with, for a moment, wonder. But this is why you have set up this backup to your faith life. Words of God, words of faith that are going to come in and are going to push that doubt right out of your life and take the scales of your eyes and allow you to see Jesus for who he is in your life. He wants us to recognize him. Come close to him and receive not just a hot breakfast of fish and bread, but a salvation meal that will last you for eternity. And he wants us in his name to share that meal by carrying miracles of love to our fellow men and our fellow women, to our neighbors, especially the ones we don't like. To give without being asked, that is seeing Jesus in your everyday life. And to serve him with joy. If you're going to do something and you cannot get your heart to be excited just for the sake of serving Jesus, then that is not the thing for you to do. Maybe you're better doing something else. We're not all meant to be preachers. We're not all meant to be teachers. We're not all meant to have a particular gift. And then what I have learned in life is that those things you say, I don't ever want to do and I will never do, those are exactly the things that Jesus says, "Oh, but I think you'll be good for that." And then put you right there, you know? But again, you have to be looking for Jesus in order to recognize that where you're going is exactly where he wants you to go. Life is not easy, and it's not gonna get easy. I know we feel that we have paid our dues. I do too sometimes. But you know what keeps me going? Is that I know that even at this late time in my life, I have been given a mission. And I am going to fulfill God's mission for my life. And I think the same of each one of you. You might know what that mission is already, or it could be a surprise. If you don't know it, get ready. It's coming. But you have to be looking for Jesus in the everyday, mundane part of your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us how to wrestle in confident prayer. Keep us tender enough to look for you where we go, but wise enough not to give in to the pulls we often feel. Help us not to get entangled in things that are not of you, but give us the resolve to stay present and caring. Teach us how to know you when we see you and rejoice with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now receive this blessing from the Lord. To the one who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Lord.